Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is Numbers, and we're on chapter 15. And this has to do with the law concerning offerings. And the law will not come after a righteous person, because the law nails or convicts the people that are guilty, that are sinful. So the law is not... righteous people needn't be concerned about the law, so long as they just keep the law. They don't say that the law is over with. They keep it because they know that if they become lawless and break the law, then the law will they'll be convicted by the law. And if a person is saved and they have made vows to the Lord, that, Lord, I know what your law of offering is. He said that I have to give my whole heart, my whole soul, my mind and strength to you. And that means to whatever, you know, I'm doing, I'm not to do the things that I did before. I'm supposed to be a new creature. In other words, I was a worm before, but now I'm a butterfly. I'm not a a caterpillar anymore. We all become new creatures if we're truly repentant, if we're truly born into the Spirit. The things that we loved before we now hate, and the things we hated before, we didn't want to hear the gospel, the law of God, so that we could keep it. We hated that before, but now we love it because we want to know everything that there is in God's law so that we can keep it, so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the law of sacrifices is that we fear God, and not reverence, because reverence is a whole lot different than fear. I revere the Lord, yes, but I also fear Him, because when I walk around with reverence in my heart, that doesn't cause me to fall down on my face and start trembling, like all the people of Israel did when the Lord made them fear Him, because He said, if people don't fear Me, they won't serve Me. And He says, therefore, He told Moses that He has caused the people of Israel to fear Him, so that they would be acceptable offerings to the Lord, that they would follow the law of offerings, that they would be like burnt offerings. We have to change. There's a metamorphosis that goes on when we give ourselves completely to the Lord. We are no longer ourselves. We are new creatures. We become a nation of, or a member of the nation of priests, and kings in that we also are kings over ourselves. We rule our cravings. We no longer are to crave the things of the world. Like the Lord showed us all in the 11th chapter of Numbers, how that He despised the Israelites for craving meat. And not only craving it, but He says, "Is God?" They said, "Is God able to give us meat?" In other words, like tempting the Lord, or testing Him out to see, "Can He? Hey, can you do this, man?" In other words, real sacrilegious. And so the Lord buried him in meat, 3 feet high. And when they had it in their teeth, chewing it down, the flesh of dead birds, He destroyed a whole bunch of them for saying, "Can you do this, man?" Like they're talking to some man or something. God is not a man, like men down here in this world, that He should repent from the way He does things. He doesn't care whether you like what He does. He doesn't like people that crave things. Now, people in this world are craving sex. And a lot of people do sex. Sex is all right in marriage. This is fine, if totally acceptable. The marriage bed is not defiled, according to the standards of what God says is fine and what's not fine. But, to say, can God provide this or can He? God can do anything that He wants to do. But a lot of people, when they have heart trouble, they crave cheeseburgers and hamburgers and lard and all kinds of fat, manteca, the gordo, you see them walking around, their pies, cakes, candies, and all these things. They want sex, illicit sex, every kind of sex, lesbian sex, because, you know, they see other people do it and they wonder what it's all about, and so they get this craving for it. But the Lord stated in chapter 11, the place where he killed thousands upon thousands of them was called Kibroth Hattaavah, and that means the graves of craving. He made all these people dig graves for all these people that craved flesh. Now, it's all right. If God's got you on a fast, he's trying to humble you, he's trying to break you down. People that have diabetes, you're not supposed to have cakes, pies, candy, cookies, and all these different things. If you do, it's going to kill you. That's just that simple. So the Lord wants us to control our cravings. People want, they've got heart trouble, they want cigarettes, chewing tobacco, cigars, all the type of things. They want drugs. People that want to get big because they're working out, they want all kinds of steroids and different things like that. And a lot of people have heart attacks from that stuff. And so it's better to just ask the Lord what you're supposed to eat and what you're supposed to do. His word tells you that it's, you know, if you want to have sex, you have to get married. You can't have sex outside of marriage. You can't even think sex outside of marriage, because in the New Testament, it's far more harsh. You can you fall into the same category as an adulterer or an adulteress if you're craving someone that's already married to somebody else. Especially a man that's craving somebody that's married to somebody else. Or even a woman to crave fornication with somebody that you're not supposed to have sexual relationships with. And so craving is the exact opposite of sacrifice. Because if the Bible says that we have to go to the cross. And at the cross, we die out to this, the things of the past, the things that we did before, our cravings. That's where we die out to those. And then we decide to do the will of the Lord. So rather than crave things, we're to ask the Lord, is this good for me? Should I have this? Or should I not? And we know not to ask him, is it all right if I have sex outside of marriage? Because his word says not to. That would be like angering God. Or should I have sex with the same sex? If I'm a man, should I have sex with another man? Or if I'm a woman, should I have sex with another woman? That's sacrilegious to ask the Lord something like that, because his word already tells you not to, and he's not going to tell you anything in the spirit to do something that his word doesn't approve of, because he never crosses himself. He never denies his word. So the law of sacrifices are, hey, if you're going to be a sacrifice, be one. If you're going to be a sacrifice, if you're going to serve the Lord, then do it. Don't say you're going to, and then be filled full of cravings that are unlawful in the name of Jesus. We're to carry the cross. The cross is supposed, we're to put the cross in our mind to every evil craving that the devil brings to us. Put the cross to it. The cross, in other words, when the devil brings a thought like that to you, say, Satan, you know you were defeated by that which Christ did on the cross. He shed his blood there on the cross, and you're defeated there. And so Christ never sinned throughout his life, and he couldn't, even if he wanted to, which he wouldn't, he couldn't sin after he died. So he died on the cross so that to assure everybody that his cravings were completely, there were no cravings there, enduring his life or even to the death of the cross. He didn't even crave to live, if that's what it took to please the Lord. And we're not even supposed to crave living in a world full of sin like this, if that's what it means, if it's against the word of the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Because you don't want to wind up at Kibroth Hattaavah in a grave because of your cravings. That's what that means in Hebrew. Kibroth Hattaavah. The grave of cravings. Those are the graves of cravings. And if you're craving something other than what the Lord wants you to do, you're living according to your own will. And the Lord wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of our vitality. And to serve Him only. And to crave Him. And to ask Him what we are to do. Because after all, we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We have become the temple of God. And if you don't feel that you are the temple of God, then you're still not saved. If you still don't want to ask the Lord for everything, then you're not saved. Because you're not dead. You're not carrying the cross. You're still yourself. You still have cravings. People are in a mission, work for the Lord, and they crave all kinds of different things. I mean, they act as though they're Elizabeth Taylor's children or Michael Todd's children, like, or they are the children of some sheik that spoils their children and lets them have whatever they want, because they put such things on the finance list that I know that is not of the Lord. Pray about things so that you don't wind up in Kibroth Hattaavah, in a grave of craving. Put the cross to yourself, for God's sake, for your own sake, the Bible says. And you notice in these chapters, chapter 9 and 10, of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses says, for your own, God has done these things to you and put you out on the desert and tried to humble you for your own sake. Not because He's a cruel God, He's doing it because He's wanting you to go to the kingdom of heaven. So, Father God, we ask that you pour out your Spirit and bless this Numbers chapter 15 that we're going to read now. Anoint it with your Holy Spirit and show everyone, Lord, teach them how that they are to do things exactly as you say for their own good. It's like the flesh wants so much, they craves so much. And people are used to being given the things that they want. But we have to humble ourselves and die out at the cross and be resurrected in the Holy Spirit so that we have a new way of life, a life that pleases your will and not ours. Let your will be done and not mine. You are the potter. Lord, we are the clay. Your will, let it be done. Thy kingdom come, not ours. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done, not only here on earth. Make it that way, Lord, on earth as it is in the kingdom of heaven. Not our will, your will. Not our way, your way. Then we're saved. And if we're not, then we're ruled by our flesh, and we're going to be in the graves of Kibroth Hattaavah, the graves of craving, and in the bowels of hell, and in the lake of fire forever. Lord, bless this chapter. Put your fear, because it's a whole duty of man to fear you and keep your commandments. And let everybody know that you're doing this because you love us. You own, you put all the gold and silver and diamonds and platinum in the earth. And you want us to have more than that. You want us to have eternal life and life more abundantly. And all the things, all the other things in the world and in the universe will be added unto us. Lord, you're doing it. You say these things to us for our own good because you, as God, denied yourself in this world. And you expect us, if we are to be members of your body, for us to do the same. Lord, cause this spirit, this same spirit, to do your will, to be in us, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Numbers chapter 15, the laws concerning offerings. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, verse 3, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or in a freewill offering, or in your solemn feasts, to make a sweet savor unto the Lord, of the herd or of the flock. Verse 4, then shalt he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of oil.
Now this particular meat offering is all right because it's of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord doesn't care if you eat meat. I mean, if it's good for you. But yet, let's pray to find out if that's what he wants us to eat. Amen, today?
Amen.
People sometimes eat meat 1 to 3 times, 4 times, 5 times a day. Now, that's no good for you. You'll catch gout or some other horrible disease because the meat today, a lot of it is contaminated. You better, and if you're eating it, you better be sure that you ask the Lord to bless it. But ask first, you know, what you should eat. Then what else?
And the fourth part of
The Lord says to do all things. You can eat all these things in moderation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 5. And the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. Verse 6. Or for a ram thou shalt prepare for a meat offering 2 tenth deals of flour mingled with the third part of an hin of oil. Verse 7, and for a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of an hin of wine, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 8, and when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow, or peace offerings unto the Lord. Verse 9, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of 3 tenth deals of flour, mingled with half an hin of oil.
Okay, so these different offerings are symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ and also his body, which is us. And we don't sacrifice animals or wine or flour or all these things anymore. It's all just symbolic of the bread of life and the blood of Jesus. And the animals are symbolic of him. And also, a lot of people just say it's the Lord. But we are the Lord's body, and it's symbolic of us giving ourselves as an offering, a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. But still, it just shows that everything has to be done exactly the way the Lord says. So this is not animals anymore. Go ahead, next verse.
Verse 10, and thou shalt bring for a drink offering half an hin of wine, for an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And it's good to know all these things because they are definitely symbolic of the things that we do in the New Testament so far as sacrificing ourselves and symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the members of his body. Then what?
Verse 11. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, or for one ram, or for a lamb, or a kid. Verse 12. According to the number that ye shall prepare, so shall ye do to every one according to their number. Verse 13. All that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And see, we all have to go through the fire. We have to be beaten. We have to go through trials and tribulations. We have to deny ourselves in order for us to be stalled or harnessed to the command to be sensitized to the Spirit of the Lord. If we just have everything we want, there's no sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. But if we only want to do that which the Lord wants us to do, then we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we are able to then hear from Him, and He will hear us. So we have to be desensitized to our own flesh, our own will, our own wants, and that is so that the Lord can speak to us and we can hear Him, and so that we can also answer Him, so that He can hear us. All right, then what?
Verse 14, "And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, as ye do, so he shall do."
Right, so going through the fire means the self-denial and taking up the cross and following the Lord. Because you're not receiving everything that you crave. Your craving now is to, your will, in other words, is to do the will of the Lord. If that isn't it, then there is no such thing as Christianity. Okay? Now, that is one thing that most people will not do. That's why we don't have congregations of 50,000 in our church here in Los Angeles or in Fort Smith or in the Texarkana area or in New Jersey, because people don't want to hear that. They're too much self-willed, and they say, by God, we're living one life, and by God, we'll do what we want. Nobody's going to tell us, not even God, what we can have and what we can't have. And that's why all those people in Israel fell, around approximately 3 million people, fell dead out in the wilderness, and only two people made it into the kingdom of God. And that's why the whole world was drowned in the days of Noah, because they would not do what Noah was telling them, that the Lord was telling them to do. With Noah, Noah came with water, and the Lord is coming with fuego, with fire. He's going to burn everybody up. With Noah, he came with water, and the Lord is coming with fire. And he wants us to go through the fire, so that the fire doesn't burn us. Okay? Noah came with water. The Lord came with fuego. Fire. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. "One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you."
Yeah, there's no two laws. It's just one. One law. Everybody's got to come into the kingdom of heaven the same way, by fire. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone that's destroyed is going to be destroyed by fire. That means it's better to willingly get yourself, your old life destroyed by going through, by self-denial, which is fire. And if you willingly do that, then you'll be, you'll meet the Lord in the sky while everything is burning here. Self-denial is fire. So you'll burn that way, or your soul will burn in hell. If you burn by self-denial, you'll be made into gold, as good as gold, in other words, perfection, spiritually perfect. You deny yourself and take up the cross, which means you're going through the fire. Then the fire that the Lord sends upon the whole earth to burn them and send them into the lake of fire will not burn you. So it's better to slowly burn by self-denial and taking up the cross and following the Lord than it is for you to just burn in hell than in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be your choice. It has to be your will to do the will of the Father. Now, that's the offer that the Lord gives us, and there's no other offer. He says, this is for you and for anyone that's in the world, any worldly person. If they want to get saved, they have to deny all their cravings and replace, you know, and generally the Lord will give you pretty much what you asked for, because you're not going to ask anything that's outside the law. And most everything is available. The Lord never withholds any good thing from people. One of the problem is people want things that are bad for them. Drugs and illicit sex, narcotics, booze, and things that are not good for their health. Ask the Lord. He won't withhold any good thing from you. All right, and then what else?
An ordinance forever in your generations.
It's forever, ever and ever. Okay, then what?
As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord.
Yes, because, you know, the Lord doesn't go for have two different sets of laws. Okay.
Translation, verse 1 through 15. The laws concerning offerings. Verse 1, the Lord told Moses to give these instructions to the people of Israel. Verse 2, quote, when you finally settle in the land I am going to give you, verse 3, and you want to please the Lord with a burnt offering or any other offering given by fire.
See, that's to please the Lord, not yourself. Pleasing yourself means that every craving that comes to you, that's why I got into the promotional field, because I used to see my mother listening to radio programs in Montana. We didn't have television. And, man, they'd be advertising Milky Way candy bars and Philip Morris cigarettes. And when she said, oh, the program's coming on now. Go, Bernie, go to the store right now. In other words, Tony. And get me a Milky Way. Hurry up. Get right back. The grocery store was only about four blocks away. And I'd run like crazy to cater to her cravings. And that's why I got into the promotional field, because the way these people were advertising Milky Way candy bars and Philip Morris cigarettes, I just saw my mother going for it, and I thought, man, I could advertise better than that. Now, you know, the President of the United States, former President Clinton, stated that I promoted Susie. I didn't promote Susie. The Lord promoted Susie and myself. We were just, I just got saved. I didn't know that much about the gospel field. And Susie was just a little woman that was infested with cancer, and he used us to trigger off the entire Jesus movement throughout the world. I pray that nobody thinks that I had anything to do with that from a promotional standpoint. So President Clinton, in his new book, mentioned that. Everything he said was a lie in there, and I just don't understand why he did that, because I thought we were friends at one time. And he also said that Susie was in a glass coffin, and that is not true. She had a metal casket, and it's closed, and everything was that he said was wrong, terribly wrong. It was an out-and-out lie, but I just can't understand why he did that. I can't understand why he did it. Now I can't understand why he did a lot of things. I didn't know that he was the way he was when he and I dined together. But, you know, I can't help that. But I don't promote myself. That would be my will. That's not even my will. I don't even want anything unless the Lord gives it to me. And it was definitely the Lord that raised us up, Susie and myself, as the top evangelist in the world. And he called us, both of us, supernaturally into the ministry, and Susie 25 years before me, approximately 25 years, and me afterwards. And after the Lord called me is when everything hit so fast, I had no idea what was going on. Susie was the only one that knew what was going on. And if anybody promoted anybody, it was her, me, because I didn't know from nothing about the gospel field. She's the one that told me, you know, now don't do this and don't do that. And the Lord was leading me and guiding me also. Okay, but go on now further.
The sacrifice must be an animal from your flocks of sheep and goats, or from your herds of cattle. When it is an ordinary burnt offering, a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, a freewill offering, or a special sacrifice of any of the annual festivals, verse 4, whoever brings it must also give to the Lord a grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour.
Right, even if you have a free will offering where you make a vow, you say, Lord, I'm going to give this, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that. On top of that, you still have to do what he says too, on top of what you vowed to do. Okay, and when you vow, yes, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's a vow that you mustn't ever break. Because there isn't anything less than that that will please the Lord. Okay, then what?
Choice flour mixed with 1 quart of olive oil. Verse 5. For each lamb offered as a whole burnt offering, you must also present 1 quart of wine for a drink offering. Verse 6. If the sacrifice is a ram, give 3 quarts of choice flour mixed with 2.5 pints of olive oil.
Obedience to this is what makes this a pleasing meal for the Lord. You mean to say the Lord is eating? That's what he wants? And that's what he wants, all right? That's it. So it does say in the Bible that that's food for the Lord. Now, he doesn't need that, but he wants that. And, you know, if the Lord, he doesn't want people that are not of him to feed him, because he says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he owns the cattle, all the cattle in the world. Everything in the world belongs to him. And if he was hungry, he wouldn't really ask us, but he's telling them to do that way to check out their obedience. Okay, then what?
Verse 7. And give 2.5 pints of wine for a drink offering. This sacrifice will be very pleasing to the Lord. Verse 8. When you present a young bull as a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in fulfillment of a special vow, or as a peace offering to the Lord. Verse 9. Then the grain offering accompanying it must include 5 quarts of choice flour mixed with 2 quarts of olive oil.
Okay, like the flour is again symbolic of the, which you make bread out of flour, the bread of life, which is Jesus, and the olive oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and the wine is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, and by the Spirit, I mean by faith. All things come to us by faith. People ask, how do I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says every gift comes from the Lord by faith. Amen?
Yeah.
You get it by having faith. How did you get salvation? Well, you ask the Lord to come into you and you receive it. Ask the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you'll receive it. There's no other way to receive anything from the Lord. It's by faith. Faith, you're saved, which is the most important thing. And the next most important thing is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of the Lord will dwell in you for the minister, so he can minister in you and throughout of you. Everything from the Lord comes by no other way than by faith. Now, the book of Galatians tells us that, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should believe another gospel? Did you receive salvation by any work that you did? No, you received it by faith, amen?
Yeah.
And can you receive any other gift by any of your paltry works? No. It's by your faith in the ability of, in God's ability to be able to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All you have to do is believe God, and he will be filling you with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And don't listen to somebody that it feels like electric charges or anything like that, because I never felt common electricity going through me. What I felt was a huge, powerful pressure of coming down upon me from heaven. And it was like a waterfall, only it was like powerfully, it was powerful. It was like a pressure, a warm, beautiful pressure of the Spirit. And it was filling me, and I know it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was because I believed the words that I didn't do anything to get salvation, and I'm not doing anything to get the Holy Spirit. God gives it to me because He wants me to give it to. He wants me to have it. He wants to give it to me. And I want it too. And I believe that He can do it, and so therefore I'm being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Amen?
Amen.
By faith we're saved, and by faith we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And by faith we're healed. If you want healing, it comes the very same way. You're not going to get healing from doctors, because the things they're going to give you are just going to cover up the symptoms. You want to get rid of the symptoms, and Jesus is the healer. Amen?
Amen.
And by faith, and no other way, you're healed. All right? Sometimes people, if they don't have enough faith, they have to take it, or if they don't pray for their own selves enough, and if there's nobody praying for them, yeah, then you have to go to the doctor and get some pills. I myself am guilty of not praying for myself that much, and I need to, because I need healing. And I know that it comes by faith. I believe that God is a healer, and that I can be healed. All I got to do is pray for myself. Amen? And Lord, touch me in the name of Jesus and heal me. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
But nothing is going to come from the Lord any other way than by faith, in that He has the ability to heal you, to save you. He has the ability also to deliver you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and give you whatever gift that the Lord wants to give you. You're not going to get it on your own works. You have to have faith to receive, but you have to do the work of the Lord. And He does give the Holy Spirit to those that keep His commandments. And also the commandment is to have faith. Believe on the Word of God. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you shall be healed. Hallelujah! Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hear my little daughter saying, hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. Plus 2 quarts of wine for the drink offering. This will be an offering made by fire, very pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. These are the instructions for what is to accompany at each sacrificial bull, ram, lamb, or young goat. Verse 12. Each of you must do this with each offering you present.
Everybody has to have come the same way. You have to come by faith into the body of Christ, into the healing of Christ, into the baptism of the Holy Spirit from Christ, and into the gifts of Christ, into the works of Christ, into the body of Christ, into being a member of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of Christ. Praise the Lord. And what?
If you native Israelites want to present an offering by fire that is pleasing to the Lord, you must follow all these instructions. Verse 14, and if any foreigners living among you want to present an offering by fire pleasing to the Lord, they must follow the same procedures.
Right, they must not have cravings. They must just follow the Lord. Deny self-denial. Any person that will not deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me is not willing to go to the fire, not willing to go into the kingdom of God. He says to do it for our own welfare, our own good, to be healed and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have gifts of the Lord and to be in the body of Christ and to enter the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're not hurting anybody but ourselves if we don't do what the Lord says. He made us. He knows what's best for us. Amen?
Amen.
He says we have to come the way of the cross. In other words, the way of the Spirit. If we don't deny ourselves, if we keep craving the things of this world, then we can't be walking in the Spirit. And therefore we're condemned. The cross is the same as the Spirit. The Spirit is the same as the cross. Okay, we're living in a body that we used to live in, our spirit used to live in before we were saved. It was full of sin. We have to not walk after our flesh anymore. We have to walk after the Spirit. Therefore, we have to ask the Spirit. God is the Spirit. And those that worship Him, in other words, serve Him, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. According, truth is His Word. So we have to go along with his word, his will, for our welfare, if we want to have the best in our life for ourselves and for those that we love. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. Native Israelites and foreigners are the same before the Lord and are subject to the same laws.
Right, there's only one law. And if we keep it, then the law is not going to condemn us. But if we break the law, then the law condemns us. The law never goes away. God wouldn't even trust Moses to write it. God wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. And then Moses, when he saw the people of Israel breaking the covenant, the Ten Commandments, he threw the tablets down and broke the covenant. But God, in his mercy, told Moses to make two more tables of tablets of stone and bring them back up on the mountain for another 40-day fast and without food or water. And God again wrote the Ten Commandments, the covenant, on the two tables of stone, two tablets of stone. And then he told him to put it in the ark. Okay? And so we still have those Ten Commandments today. They never go away. Jesus said he never came to break the law. He came to show that we have to fulfill it. He said, I'll fulfill it in flesh. I'm living in the flesh. I'm God living in the flesh. And if you let me, God, live in you, then you'll be able to fulfill the will of the Lord in your flesh too. You won't be driven by your cravings, your desires, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, the pride of life. Let me live in you so that you can live eternally, so that you can be healed, so that you can be filled with my Holy Spirit, and so that you can have all the goodness, the good things that I want you to have. Okay, go ahead.
This is a permanent law for you.
Permanent, never goes away.
King James Version, verse 16. One law and one manner shall be for you, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 18. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land whither I bring you, verse 19. Then it shall be that when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. Verse 20, ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for an heave offering, as ye do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. Verse 21, of the first of your dough ye shall give unto the Lord, an heave offering in your generations.
Yeah, the threshing floor is where they thresh the wheat, and that's where it's the offering of the threshing floor, the wheat. Okay, then what?
Verse 22, and if ye have erred, and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses.
That is, if you've not erred, if you keep all the commandments, that means every single one of them, for your own good, then what?
Verse 23, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforward among your generations. Verse 24, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Verse 25, and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance.
Yeah, if you do something in ignorance, I mean, you didn't know, well, then that's forgivable. But when you deliberately do something, and you're just rebellious against his word, that's when you're in trouble. Okay, then what?
And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. Verse 26, and it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. verse 27. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. Verse 28. And the priest shall make an atonement for
a she-goat. Why? Because it is symbolic of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people always ask me about that, you know, and that's why I thought it was symbolic of the Lord. No, it's also symbolic of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're the bride of Christ if we continue on in the Lord. Then what?
And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
If a person deliberately disobeys God, rebels against his word, you're going to die. If that's what you want, you like to live the easy life, you know, the life of craving. You just got to have what you crave, your flesh craves. Well, then you're in rebellion against the Lord. Now, you have to train yourself. You have to take it upon yourself to just put the knife to your throat, or to whatever it is that the Lord says to do, just do it. Now, there isn't anything that the devil can tempt you with, that if you have the word of God, you know not to do it. Just say no to the devil. Get thee hence, Satan. Because the Lord defeated you on the cross at Calvary, and he shed his blood. If you keep mentioning the blood and the event that happened around 2,000 years ago where the Lord defeated Satan while he was on the cross, it looked like the Lord lost. But that was actually the victory, because if the Lord could never have a bride if he hadn't died on the cross, because we could never be saved. No one in the world could be saved from Satan's clutches. Even the people in the Old Testament depended on the Messiah to come to die for the sins of the world. As Isaiah said, and all the prophets, they depended because they knew that they were sinners as well. And they had faith in that he was coming. And so therefore their souls were saved. And now that he's come, we have to have faith in that he did come in order for us to be saved. So we're looking back at the cross now. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the others, and Enoch and all the others, even Adam and Eve after they sinned, they were looking towards the cross. The Lord said, I'll come to the world in the flesh and die. And if you believe that, even Abel then shed the blood of a lamb. And he says, and have faith in that I'm coming. Now he says, I have come, and all the signs are here, and there's plenty of evidence of it. Now believe that I came, and believe that that's what it's all about, that the Old Testament, which we're reading right now, all these signs and symbols of his coming have occurred already. And so therefore, we're without excuse if we don't surrender the nothing life. There isn't anything that you can do in this world that's of any value unless you're doing what the Lord says. Any of the other things are of no value whatsoever, and they don't bring happiness. But to know you're saved and to know that you're right with the Lord is the most beautiful thing. Then go ahead.
Verse 31. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off.
Utterly killed. Then what?
His iniquity shall be upon him.
Okay.
Translation, verse 16 through 31. The same instructions and regulations will apply both to you and to foreigners living among you. Verse 17. The Lord also said to Moses at this time, verse 18, quote, give the people of Israel the following instructions. When you arrive in the land where I am taking you, verse 19, you will eat from the crops that grow there, but you must set some aside as a gift to the Lord. Verse 20, present a cake from the first of the flour to grind and set it aside as a gift, as you do with the first grain from the threshing floor. Verse 21. Throughout the generations to come, you are to present this offering to the Lord each year from the first of your ground flour. Verse 22. But suppose some of you unintentionally fail to carry out all these commands that the Lord has given you through Moses. Verse 23. And suppose some of your descendants in the future fail to do everything the Lord has commanded through Moses. Verse 24. If the mistake was done unintentionally, and the community was unaware of it, the whole community must present a young bull for a burnt offering. It will be pleasing to the Lord, and it must be offered along with the prescribed grain offering and drink offering, and with one male goat for a sin offering.
Because the male goat is symbolic of the Lord taking all the sins upon of our sins upon himself. He's the scapegoat. Then what?
Verse 25. With it the priest will make atonement for the whole community of Israel, and they will be forgiven. For it was an unintentional sin, and they have corrected it with their offering given to the Lord by fire, and by their sin offering. Verse 26. The whole community of Israel will be forgiven, including the foreigners living among you, for the entire population was involved in the sin. Verse 27. If the unintentional sin is committed by an individual, the guilty person must bring a one-year-old female goat for a sin offering.
Female goat, symbolic of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, us. Then what?
Verse 28. The priest will make atonement for the guilty person before the Lord, and that person will be forgiven. Verse 29. This same law applied both to native Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Verse 30. But those who brazenly violate the Lord's will, whether native Israelites or foreigners, blaspheme the Lord, and they must be cut off from the community. Verse 31. Since they have treated the Lord's word with contempt and deliberately disobeyed his commands, they must be completely cut off and suffer the consequences of their guilt.
Now, wait a minute. This is supposed to be the God of love. Well, all those people that preach just God is love, I mean, they forget all these major scriptures in the Bible. They just take one little part of the Bible. This is like the real Bible that I'm reading to you here. The real Bible. God is not just a love of... He's not a God of love, but he's a God of hate, a God of wrath, and a God of judgment, and a God that kills people and destroys them, and a God that allows people to go to hell and turns his ears off from theirs crying. Their tears are of no consequence to him. That doesn't turn his wrath away. He's a God of wrath, fierce anger. He's a terrorist. He makes the terrorists of this world look sick. When you get God after you, the hair on the back of your head, on your whole head, will raise up when you see him coming after you. Then what?
King James Version, verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day.
That's all this guy was doing, was gathering sticks, and he has to die? Wait, watch and see. Lord says, no work on the Sabbath. Okay, then what?
Verse 33. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. Verse 34. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him.
Now the Lord says, don't do it. But this weasel decided to do it. Okay, and so he was sinning. When the Lord tells you not to do something and you do it, that's sin. Okay, then what?
Verse 35. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death.
What? This God of love, he'd put a guy to death for picking up some sticks? That's what it says. But remember, God is love, right? He's also death. Amen?
Amen.
He's life and he's death. He says, behold, I make alive and I kill. So beware of me, he says. Keep my commandments and live. If you don't keep them, I'm going to kill you. Okay, then what else?
All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp.
What? For picking up sticks? He didn't murder anybody. Nobody broke God's commandments, and that's how strict God is. You don't think that's right, do you? Some of you. Well then, you know, disobey God and see what happens to you. God doesn't care whether you'd like him. You have to like him. You have to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love what he says, or else he'll put you to death. And not only to death, but let you spend the rest of eternity, which is forever, in the lake of fire. Like it or not, he does. You know, you're not going to hurt him. He's trying to tell you it's best for your own good, and you don't want to do it. Well, that's the way God is, and that's the way you just have to receive him that way. That's why he says, fear my commandments. Fear me. That's the whole duty of man. You don't? Well, then you have to face the consequences. Then what?
Verse 36. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. Verse 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring.
Yeah, or in other words, after your own cravings. Because the Lord doesn't really want you to wind up in Kibroth Hattaavah, in the graves of cravings. But if that's what you want, go at it. Because that's what you'll get. Then what?
Verse 40. That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Verse 41. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Translation, verse 32 through 41. The penalty for breaking the Sabbath. Verse 32. One day, while the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they caught a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Verse 33. He was apprehended and taken before Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the community.
Because the Sabbath day is symbolic of resting in the Lord, resting from your own work, from your old ways. The Sabbath, he says, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that are heavy laden, I will give you Sabbath, rest, or Sabbath. And we have to do that first of us, the first commandment. And so this man was breaking that commandment. He didn't want to rest, as the Lord said. All right, so go ahead.
Verse 34. They held him in custody because they did not know what to do with him. Verse 35. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, the man must be put to death! Exclamation mark. The whole community must stone him outside the camp. Unquote. Verse 36. So the whole community took the man outside the camp and stoned him to death, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The tassels on clothing. Verse 37. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 38, quote, say to the people of Israel, throughout the generations to come, you must make tassels for the hems of your clothing and attach the tassels at each corner with a blue cord. Verse 39, the tassels will remind you of the commands of the Lord, and that you are to obey his command, instead of following your own desires and going your own ways.
Your own cravings. Okay, then what?
As you are prone to do. Verse 40, the tassels will help you remember that you must obey all my commands and be holy to your God. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that I might be your God. I am the Lord your God! Exclamation mark. Unquote.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 15 of Numbers, and now we got some commentary.
15, verse 1 through 36. This restatement of many of the Levitical laws was intended to train the new generation concerning their accountability to God.
Yeah, all the old codgers were dead. They died. They've dropped dead for disobeying the Lord, and the Lord wanted to give them a rehash, these new ones, so that the same thing doesn't happen to them. And the Lord wanted us to hear it twice so that it doesn't happen to us. But hearing, being a good hearer but not a doer, that doesn't work. You have to be not only a hearer but a doer of the word. Okay? That's the Bible tells you that all the way through. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
They would be allowed to enter the promised land and enjoy God's blessings. But they needed to realize that in their new life there, they would be accountable to God. Privilege always brings with it responsibility. God was affirming this principle with a new generation of Israelites. 15, verse 6a.
Right in prison, they say, well, you know, visiting is a privilege. If you, they don't have to give you visitation rights, but, you know, if you mess up according to the prison rules, or if they just get it in for you, they can cut your visitations off. They don't have to let you have visiting. They don't have to let you have commissary. It's just a privilege. And so if you abuse the privilege, then if you don't take the responsibility that they tell you that you have to have, even a prison will chasten you and not let you have the privilege anymore. I believe they get that from the Lord. Amen. From the Bible. Then what else?
15, verse 6a. Hebrew. 2/10 of an ephah is like 3.6 liters. 15, verse 6b. Hebrew. 1/3 of an hin is 1.3 liters. Also in chapter 15, verse 1.
Most people know what a liter is because they buy so much Pepsi or Coke or stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
15, verse 9a. Hebrew. 3/10 of an ephah is 5.4 liters.
That'd be like what? How many jugs of Pepsi?
5.5.
5.5 jugs, okay.
Oh, no, they're 2 liters.
They're 2 liters to a batch, so you're talking about 2 3/4, right?
Yeah.
All right, then what else?
15, verse 9b. Hebrew. 1/2 of a hin is 2 liters.
That'll also be 1 jug of Pepsi, right? Or whatever. Then what?
Also, in 15, verse 10, you see the same thing. 15, verse 37 through 41. The Israelites were required to wear tassels on the corners of their clothing. This reminded them constantly of their covenant relationship with God and the need to obey Him. It was a visual reminder that their commitment to obey God was important in every realm of life. Although the New Testament doesn't command such a ritual as sewing tassels on us today, the principle behind it is still helpful. As we commit our life to God, we need to realize that obedience to Him is important in all areas of life.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt you to put little placards of commandments all over your house, out on the gates, and wrap them around your neck, if necessary, to remember them. Amen?
Amen.
If you can't remember them in your spirit, your soul, well then do something, okay, to remember it. All right, then what?
15, verse 1 through 41. The instructions and events narrated from here to chapter 20, verse 1, took place in unspecified settings. Following the death sentence of chapter 14, however, they inject a note of hope that the Lord is still preparing His people for life in the promised land. The chapter includes 1. Instructions concerning the offerings to accompany sacrifices, verses 1 through 16, and 2. Instructions for a heave offering from the threshing floor, verses 17 through 21.
That's the bread of life, the dough, and to bake the cakes, all right? And that's also for the heave offerings are for the priests. Okay, then what else?
3. Instructions for intentional and unintentional sin, verses 22 through 31. 4. The story of a Sabbath violation, verses 32 through 36. 5. Instructions for tassels for remembrance, verses 37 through 41. 15 verse 1 through 16. The kind of sacrifice under discussion here is an offering by fire, verse 3. This category includes the burnt offering, where the whole animal is burned. See the note on Leviticus 1, verses 3 and 4. And the sacrifice where only part of the animal is burned. The occasions for such a fire offering to the Lord includes fulfillment of a vow, a voluntary offering, or a festival offering. These must be accompanied by a grain offering. See note on Leviticus 22, verse 2 through 16, and drink offering. 15 verse 4, and ephah was about 22 liters. 1/4 of a hin was about 3 pints, 1.8 liters. 15 verse 8, peace offering. See note on Leviticus 3, verse 1. 15 verse 17 through 21. This offering claims the first bread made from the grain of the threshing floor for the Lord. 15 verse 21. A heave offering is a type of peace offering. See note on Leviticus 3, 1. 15 verse 22 through 31. The regulations turn to sin offerings. Two instructions are given regarding unintentional sin. One for the whole congregation, verses 22 through 26, and one for an individual, verses 27 through 29. Verses 30 through 31 indicate the consequences of intentional sin. One who sins presumptuously, that means willfully, violates the law. This is contrasted with the one who sins unintentionally, sins of ignorance. 15 verse 24, sin offering. You can look that up in Leviticus 4, verse 3. 15, verse 32 through 36. The severity of the law in verses 30 through 31 is soon enforced when a Sabbath violator is executed. The sin was not just an individual matter, but in principle, this threatened the entire community and hence had to be rooted out immediately. 15 verse 37 through 41.
Right, if that was unpunished, everybody would think they could do something on the Sabbath day, amen?
Amen.
But that would just destroy the whole church, the whole body, the whole community, all of Israel. Then what?
15 verse 37 through 41. This visual reminder of the duty to obey the law was given because of the serious consequences of failure to obey. The chapter thus concludes with the duty and responsibility of obedient faith. 15 verse 38. Tassels were worn around the hem of the clothes to remind people to do God's will. They apparently had an upper garment folded into a quadrangular shape. Tassels were to be put on each of these corners.
Praise the Lord, that was chapter 15 of Numbers. We'll be doing chapter 16 this evening, God willing. In the meantime, remember that all the lessons in this chapter, and also in chapter 11, which tells us that we shouldn't be lusting after things that are not of the Lord. In other words, we're not to be craving things that are not of the Lord. Cravings that are that could cause our souls to spend eternity in the bowels of hell in the lake of fire. Think about these day and night. That means meditate on them. And keep looking up. Remember, it's just one day at a time. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord.